Good morning, church. Good morning, church. We want to welcome you wherever you are. If you're tuning in from the living room, bedroom, in your house, or watching with your family members or siblings, I want to welcome you to our online service. This morning, before we go into worship, I'm going to invite you to stand. I know this is not something that we've asked you to do in the past, but today we're both standing, and I'm going to invite you to stand because I feel like standing is going to help us engage in worship better. It's going to help us connect to our breath better. And remember, praise and worship is entering into the presence of God, yeah? I just don't see how we can enter into the presence of God lying down on the couch or, you know, doing this on your living room. So I'm going to give you a few seconds. Stand, give some room to your neighbors and your siblings and your family members, and then we'll enter into the presence of God with praise and worship.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Rock from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you've lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Sing a little louder.
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 In the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
Our weapon is a melody.
Oh, sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder. In the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. can never comprehend the passion of our Savior's heart. He left his throne of majesty to come and save the lost like me. King of all authority, he emptied himself of his fame, counting himself as a slave. He washed my sins and bore my shame. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise. My mind will never understand the wonder of our Savior's love. He humbled himself to the cross and died for every sin of ours. But the Son of God can't be contained. Even death is no match for his reign. Now the devil's fleeing in open shame. Victorious is Jesus. His name, Jesus, Jesus, the name above all other names, Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise, Jesus. You haste the day when every tear is wiped away. The whole world bows under your name. We'll reign with you for all our days. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all. Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise. Jesus, Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, Jesus, forever we will sing your praise.
Hallelujah.
church, have this mind among you, which is in Christ Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And he gave it all for us on the cross. Though he was rich, for us, he became poor. And have this mind among you, church. That's the calling. That's the calling. So, church, we're going to introduce to you a new song to prepare us to respond to this calling. To respond to this calling of becoming a servant, serving others. Serving others and the people in the community.
Narrow as the road may seem, I'll follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. Less of me and more of you. I just wanna see you move. I hear you call. I am available. I say yes. Nothing is a sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call.
God, we know those are bold words to pray. Those are bold words to pray, to say that I am available and send me, Lord, send me. That's bold words. And I know a lot of us here, we may have some fear, we may have some uncertainty of where that might be. But God, I know deep down in our hearts, serving you is the calling. Serving you is the ultimate fulfillment. So God, I pray that you would soften our hearts, prepare our hearts to receive from you the calling that you have for us, and give us courage and boldness to take that step of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be seated.
We have been having this Reaching Out series since last week. And the reasons we want to have this series at this particular period of time is because the pastoral team really think that the COVID-19 crisis, which we are experiencing right now, gives us a good opportunity to talk, to think about our role and our mission as a local church to our local community. What's more we can do for our local community as a body of Christ? What is our role in this crisis? What is our mission, being a local church, the salt of light of the world? What should we do for our local community? When we truly believe that our God is a God of providence and He will provide our needs, what can we do so that we will become a blessing of the world? Well, I think this is the main reasons why we have this series. And it is also the major reasons why we launched the Reaching Out Generosity campaign at this particular period of time. In the last 2 months, we have done our best to take care of our seniors and the families with special needs amongst our congregation. We take initiative to reach out one by one. We call them every day and we talk to them every day. Sometimes we even pray with them over the phone. Also, we approach different organizations in our local community and we really want to find out what their needs are. We have so far sent out around 40 emergency packages to our seniors. And in each package, we include dry food, canned food, and face masks. Hopefully, these items will be useful during the emergency time. We also financially support Richmond Hospital, our local hospital. We help them to purchase breathing machines for the COVID-19 patients. We subsidize the Greater Vancouver Food Bank. They can use the money to buy more food for the low-income families in the city. We donated 2,000 medical face masks to Mission Possible and Union Gospel Missions in our downtown east side. These are the two organizations working with the homeless in Vancouver. We also organize food drive. We encourage brothers and sisters to buy more dry food and canned food, and we collect them and send them to the Richmond Food Bank every week. I have been to the Richmond Food Bank a couple of weeks ago, and I saw a long line up in front of their building. I saw old ladies, I saw women with babies, I saw homeless men, I saw children. They all line up in front of the entrance. And obviously, there is a great need from the community. This picture triggered me to ask myself a question. As a people of God, how do we respond to such a great need? As a people of God, do we have a role here? Do we have a role among the poor and the needy? When I think about this question, I really do think we do. Do we have a role among the poor and the needy? Well, when I think about this question, I think we do. I'm convinced that we have a role, and this role is to help and to give. We have a God-given responsibility among the poor and the needy. I think of the early churches. At the time of the early churches, when Jerusalem was experiencing trouble, and last week, Pastor Kanan has already given us some background information. He told us that there was a big famine hitting the region of Judea during that time. And while the whole city of Jerusalem was suffering by the famine, the church in Corinth, which is located in Europe, believe that they have a role in this crisis. They want to help. They want to give. They want to support the city of Jerusalem, the people, the Christian inside the city with financial help. Well, indeed, according to Paul, they already had a plan. They already had a giving plan almost ready a year ago. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10, Paul said, "And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it." They really want to do it. They really see that they have a role in this crisis, but somehow, for some reason, they just delayed the entire plan. Why? Well, Paul did not say anything about that in the letter. Were they having some financial problem which made them unable to give? Probably not. Because when you understand the background information of the city of Corinth, you may think that it may not be the case. You know, the city of Corinth was one of the richest cities in the Roman Empire. Geographically, it was located between Greece and Macedonia. For people who need to travel between these two regions, they must go through the city of Corinth. They have to pay traveling taxes, business taxes, and you can imagine, taxes is one of the major income of the city. So in general, it was a very prosperous city, and a church in such a rich city must be a rich church with lots of financial resources. So I don't think money was the problem. So what was the problem? Why did they delay the giving plan? Well, like I said, Paul did not say anything about that in his letter. But I think we can guess. Well, usually, we do not have much problems or questions when we talk about generosity. When we talk about giving to the poor, we are okay with that because we think this is the right thing to do. But when the times of giving comes and we need to pull out our checkbook, all of a sudden, a lot of questions coming out. People may ask, which organization should they support? How did the organization get the most from my donation? Should I write a check? Or should I just donate cash? Is there any administrative cost? How can I save the cost? Etc., etc., etc. Well, these are legitimate questions. But the problem is, after we got all the answer, usually we have already lost our motivation to give. We did not put what we planned for into actions. Well, I'm not saying that we do not want to be generous. But for some reason, we just delay, we procrastinate because we lost the motivation to give. The Church of Corinth perhaps was experiencing the similar problem. They delayed, they procrastinated, they just lost their motivation to carry out their plan. That's why Paul proposed to help. In his letter, Paul proposed to help, and his plan is to send his student Titus back to the city of Corinth. And the purpose of this trip was to assist the church to finish their unfinished business. He wants to make sure that the church in Corinth will finish their unfinished giving plan in accordance to their original will. Was Paul giving pressure to the church? Was Paul forcing the church to complete the plan? Oh, yes, of course, obviously. But I think the most important question we might want to ask here is, why? Why did Paul so eager to see the Christian in Corinth to finish the plan? Why did he so desperate to see the Corinthians to put their generosity into actions? I think there might be two reasons behind. First of all, I really think that Paul loved this church very much. Perhaps it was because he had spent a long time with the Christian over there before. According to the book of Acts, for 18 months, Paul was living in Corinth with the Christian, with the church. So based on this relationship, I believe that Paul must have high hope on this church. Well, this can also explain why Paul would pay them a compliment before the Macedonians. And his compliment eventually stirred up the Macedonian church to follow their footsteps. They also give to the Jerusalem. They also donate, they also support the Christian in Jerusalem generously. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, Paul said, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." So, Paul was so proud of this church. He loves this church so much. And I think this is the first reason why he wants to see the plans completed by them as soon as possible. Okay, second reason. Paul was so eager to see the Corinthians to finish the giving plan because he truly believed that generosity will bless the church. It will bring Corinthians even more blessings from God, and Paul did not want the church to miss it. What kind of blessing? Then Paul started to talk about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in chapter 9, he gave Corinthians three reasons why acts of generosity should not be delayed. Let's take a look at them. Reason number one, God loves cheerful givers. God loves cheerful givers. We should not delay our acts of generosity because God really loves cheerful givers. When we look at verse 7, Paul clearly told the Corinthians that God wants them to be a people of generosity. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Paul said, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You see, the Bible is so clear. God likes and wants every Christian to become a cheerful giver. What does God want us to do? What does God like us to do? You know what? These two are two very popular questions that Christians always ask themselves, and they really need the answers. We always want to know what God wants us to do in our lives. We want to know what God's will in our lives. But you know what? The problem is, even though the Bible told us what God wants us to do over and over and over again, we seldom take it seriously. We are not willing to listen. We are not willing to follow. If here the Bible tells us that God delights those who give generously, not reluctantly or under compulsion, He loves cheerful givers, that means the Bible really meant it. God really means it, and He wants us to follow and to become one. Do you know why God wants us to be a cheerful giver? You can find the answer when you turn to chapter 8, the previous chapter. And when you turn to chapter 8, verse 9, you will discover that our Lord Jesus, our God, He Himself is also a generous giver. He gave everything to us. He gave everything, including His life, to us. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? One reason. Because He loves us so much. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you, by His poverty, might become rich. Jesus was the most generous giver in the world. Therefore, if we act generously to others today, if we help, if we give what we have, then we are indeed doing the same thing to others as what Jesus has done to us. We are expressing the love of God in a most practical way. And this is why God loves us to be a giver so much. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that their acts of generosity should not be delayed. because God loves a cheerful giver. If the Corinthian loved God, if the Corinthian cared what God cares, they probably should do the same. They should do the same and practice that generosity right away. Well, this is probably the first point, the first single point Paul would like to make here. He really wants the Corinthians to understand that. This is the will of God. This is what God delights. This is reason number one. So, what is reason number two? Let's take a look of chapter 9, verse 8 to 10. Paul said, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." What Paul means here is that our God not only can provide what we need, make us sufficient, but also He can multiply what we have right now so that we can give more to others without any hesitation. Perhaps when you look at what you have right now, you may think that you have enough already. You are so thankful for what you have already. And you think you do not need God to give you more. If this is the case, well, thank God. And I'm so happy for you. But when we talk about generosity, for the sake of others, for the sake of helping others, I think God wants us to ask more. He wants us to ask more so that we can give more to others. And He promised that He will multiply what we have so that we can give even more to the people who are in need. And obviously, this is why Paul did not want the Corinthians to delay their giving plan. God can bless many others through blessing us. God can provide many others through providing us. What I mean is, when God multiplies what we have, it is not for our own sake. He gives us extra, more than enough, so that we can give out what we have now to the poor and the needy. We don't need to hesitate. Well, this is exactly what Paul meant when he said, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." The phrase "harvest of your righteousness" refers to the result generated from your giving and the people who received your help. For a very long time, we have a very narrow view on the concept of generosity. Somehow we believe that we need to be sufficient. We need to have extra before we can act generously to others. It is how we see generosity, and we think it is reasonable, it is logical. But I want to tell you this morning, God does not see generosity in this way. In God's reasoning, in God's logic, we do not need to be sufficient so that we can act generously. We do not need to have extra before we can give out what we have freely and willingly. We can act generously even before we have enough. Why? Because God has already promised us that He will compensate us. He will compensate what we give out. He will multiply what we have so that we can give continuously to the needy. Let me share with you a little story about myself. Well, many years ago, a nice hot summer afternoon, I brought my two daughters to McDonald's for ice cream. And we sat on a bench outside the restaurant, and they were enjoying their ice cream. We have a very interesting conversation. I asked them, "Hey, Kristen and Gretchen, do you love me?" Well, they said, "Yes, of course, I love you, Daddy." I said, "Why?" "Because you brought me ice cream every time.
Oh, I see.
So if you think daddy loves you and you love daddy, when you grow up, can you brought daddy and mommy a bigger house so that we can live comfortably? Well, they said, yes, of course, without any hesitation. So then, can you share your ice cream with me now? Just only half a cup of what you have. And the answer is not what I expected. They said, why? But you said you love me. You will buy a bigger house for me to live comfortably. Why can't you share your ice cream with me now? I forgot what the answer are. But I know why. I know the reason. Because when you talk about buying a bigger house, they don't even have a bigger house now. It is something in the future, far in the future. So the struggle is not right now. But when you talk about ice cream, the ice cream is right in their hand, and the struggle is now, the struggle is so real. Can you distinguish the difference between these two? My point is, I think there is something they are missing. They forgot one thing which is very important. They just forgot who was asking them for ice cream indeed. It was their father. It was his father who asking them ice cream. And his father was the one who purchased this ice cream to them. If they know their father really loves them, and they know their father has the ability to provide their needs, they can just share what they have freely and willingly with others because they already know, they know their father will give them more than they need. Sometimes our faith is so weak. We believe that God can give us enough, but we seldom believe that God can multiply what we have so that we will have extra to give out. When we talk about generosity, actually, there are only two conditions for an act of generosity. First of all, when we can locate the poor and the needy around us, when we can see the needs, when the needs come out, that's the time for us to give. And second, when we are willing to believe in God's promise, that He will multiply what we have so that we can give out generously, this is also the time we can give. So my dear brothers and sisters, God loves His people to be a cheerful giver, and He will surely provide us so that we can give out generously. This is the second reason. What is the third reason? Third reason. The Corinthians should not delay the act of generosity because, in Paul's eyes, generosity is a living witness of the church to the world. An act of generosity will open a window for the outside world to experience the love of God in a very practical way. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 11 and 13. Paul said, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the need of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ." You know, generosity is powerful. Like Paul said, the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. This many includes people inside the church, which are the Christians, but also the people outside the church, which were the non-Christians. Even the non-Christians give thanks to God. Why? How come? Because they had also been benefited from the acts of generosity from the Christians. You know, the world will see God through Christians' generosity. As a matter of fact, the Church of Jerusalem was also doing the same thing to the people living in the Jerusalem. If you can turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47, you will see how Christians treat each other in Jerusalem. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved. The Bible describes the believers in the Jerusalem church had all things in common. Do not be mistaken by the idea of communism. They are not practicing communism. The point here is, Christians in the Jerusalem, inside the church, were acting selflessly. They did not only care about their own need, they also care about others. When they knew someone in the community was insufficient, they would give up their possession, part of their property, so that they have the ability to help the needy. So everybody in the community, their needs will be fulfilled eventually. And I'm pretty sure this way of living, this way of acting, the act of giving, not only benefits the believers, but also the unbeliever. That's why they gain the favor from all the people in the Jerusalem, and the Lord add to their number day by day. An act of generosity is a living witness. It is a window for the world to have a glimpse, to have a taste of God's love in a most practical way. That was what Paul expected to see among the Corinthian Christians. And I believe this is also what our Lord expects to see inside the Colonial Evangelical Church. So, church, what is generosity? What is generosity? It is not an event. It is not even a program. It is a living witness, a signature of a community of faith filled with love. It is a signature of a body of Christ. And when the world sees what we have done here to the community, a heart of thanksgiving to our God will be generated among them. So, brothers and sisters, don't just talk about generosity. Let's put it into action. Why? Paul just given us three reasons. First, God delights. God loves cheerful givers. Second, God promised to multiply what we have so that we can give generously. And three, this is the living witness of the church before the world. But how? How can we put generosity into action? Then I will suggest you three different ways as a start. First of all, I will encourage you to take this crisis, this moment, as an opportunity for you to learn how to be generous, how to live generously. Practice your caring. You can start to care about your family members. Then you can extend your caring to your church friends, your neighbors, your colleagues in your workplace. As simple as just a phone call, chat a little bit, listen to their struggle. If it is allowed, invite them to pray with you over the phone. Try to understand what their experience is and what their needs are. If you can give, don't hesitate to give. If you know how to help, take the initiative to help. This is the first thing you can do. And the second thing, I want you to engage in this generosity campaign. I want to encourage you to engage in our Reaching Out generosity campaign through your monthly tithing. In other words, give faithfully. The church needs your financial support so that we can have sufficient funding and resources to help and to provide our local community continuously. Our deacon board has already agreed to donate our general offering collected in May to four different organizations. They are Union Gospel Missions, Compassion Canada, Doctors Without Borders, and Richmond Hospital Foundation. Because we wholeheartedly believe that lots and lots of people will be helped through these four organizations. And meanwhile, we will continue to collect dry food and canned food from brother and sister from our congregation for Richmond Food Bank. So if this week you have a chance to go to the supermarket, I encourage you to buy a little bit more. Bring them to us and we will send them to the Richmond Food Bank next week. And last but not least, I encourage you to pray. Pray for the church. Pray for the unity of the church. You know, generosity cannot be done by just the church leadership. We need everybody to be part of it. We need every heart to engage. It is our ministry, but please remember, this is also our signature, our living witness of a body of Christ, a people of faith. So, three things. Practice your caring. Support our generosity campaign through your giving, and pray for the unity of the church. I hope these suggestions can help you at least start this journey of generosity. And I pray God that He will continue to support us, to give us strength, give us wisdom and courage, so that we can pass on this vision to the people, to the Christians around us, so that we will become a group of cheerful givers, but at the same time, other churches in Vancouver can also become a community of generous giving.
Narrow as the road may seem, follow where your spirit leads. Broken as my life may be, I will give you every piece. I hear you call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. Here I am with open hands, counting on your grace again. Less of me and more of you, I just want to see you move. I hear you call, I am available. I say, yes, Lord, I am available. I am available. Nothing is a sacrifice. Use me how you want to, God. Have your throne within my heart. I hear you call. I am available. I say yes.
Before your throne this morning to pray. We pray that your Holy Spirit guide us, lead us, and help us open up ourselves. Open up ourselves. Humble ourselves so that we may make ourselves available. Make ourselves available for you. For you to use us how you want to. Use us how you want to. Because you're worthy. You're worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to continue to worship with offering. Offering is something that God has called us to do, and it is something that we give back to Him, the things that He has so generously blessed us with. You can do that through two ways, credit card, and you can mail us a check. Credit card, if you can take your phone and you can scan the QR code that's on the screen right now, it will bring you to a PayPal page where you can put in all the information for your credit card, and you can set whether you want to do this regularly or not. And the mailing the check-in, you can just write a check to the address that's on the bottom of the page that's shown to you right now as well. On that note, I want to give you an update on the Reaching Out campaign. Reaching Out campaign is the generosity campaign that's happening in the month of May. What's happening here is all the general donation that we receive during this month will be donated to one of four nonprofit organizations, Compassion Canada, Doctors Without Borders, Mission Possible, or Richmond Hospital Foundation. As of last week, we have raised $42,000, over $42,000 of general offering that will be donated. So we encourage you to keep being faithful with your offering. And perhaps I ask you to consider whether you would consider giving more during this time, giving more and be extra generous. Challenge yourself to be extra generous, to give out the resources to help the people that are in need. Because this is the time, a Reaching Out campaign, this is the time that we rise up as a church and to give and to care about the community and to be the light and the salt of the world. So consider that, pray for that, and then you can have the whole month of May to give your donation to those organizations. Let me bless you now with the Word of God. Church, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people put a light and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all people in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So we're going to welcome you to keep chatting in the chat room. Say hi to us. Or if you want to connect to us, send us an email to info@koinoniachurch.ca, info@koinoniachurch.ca, and we'll reply to you and we'll connect with you there. We'll see you next week.